Father, may we learn from these teachings. May they be applied in our lives, revealing that fruit, because that is how we're known as Christians. And Lord, we thank you that you have placed your spirit within us, that we may learn your ways. And so we thank you now for this meeting. We desire it glorifies you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I've got a title here today for us to consider, and we're calling our teaching today, The Atonement Working on My Behalf. The Atonement Working on My Behalf. Since Adam sinned against God, immediately there had to be a covering before God could do anything else. And we know that they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, which was completely inadequate, inappropriate. It shows that man was trying to hide from God because he knew that he had done wrong. Immediately his conscience wasn't as it should be before God. He knew that God had given everything to them in the garden and fellowship, his presence. They knew the very thing that they shouldn't touch, they had. And they hid themselves. The sign of sin, separating fellowship. But something within them hid themselves because they knew that they were naked and they tried to cover that nakedness. And we know the story of how the Lord met with them in the evening and he questioned them and he had to provide a covering, which meant the slaying of an animal and the shedding of blood. That is how we can be covered. We can have any chance of eternal life and relationship with God. There is no other way to get to Almighty God other than the shedding of blood and its covering our sin. We see all other religions try and attempt to do this in some way or form. But only the Christian faith is a valid faith, is a faith that will get us into heaven with God, because to atone, to cover, the shedding of blood finally had to be Christ's blood, divesting himself as Almighty God. And we have to find as Christians, if we are to walk in covenant and relationship with God and by faith, that the blood of Christ is atoning on our behalf. That is why the Lord gives us discernment to test. He says, by the fruit you will know them. We are to test what spirit a minister is talking under, whether it be the Holy Spirit or in the flesh or doctrines of demons. These are all clear indications and signs whether the blood of Christ atones for you or not. Let's just remind ourselves in our theology what the understanding is in light of the Word of God. To atone in Hebrew means to cover. Atonement is really a hybrid word. It's not found in the Bible as such. We need to have to go to the Hebrew to understand what it means. It means to cover. To cover what? To appease God's wrath against sin. God is angry. Man has disobeyed. The very thing he told him not to do, he did, which kindled, if you like, the wrath of God. And God, being sovereign, is very aware what his wrath does. It will destroy. It will eliminate. It will remove anything that is not pure, clean, right, holy in his sight. That is God. That is his nature. That is him. He cannot change. He is most holy. And so something had to be done because God was not happy with that. Why? Because man was made in his image. He was seeing something of himself in us. And so he had to act, intervene. And we see him do it right there in the garden. But they couldn't be left in that condition any longer. Because by staying in the garden, they would have eternal life. They would continue to live. They've already sinned. Sin has entered, even though God has atoned. That's why they had to be removed from the Garden of Eden. And life became very different for Adam to what he was experiencing. But God had forgiven. And he dealt himself personally with that forgiveness. And so God's wrath, which was against sin, we call propitiation. It means that the demands of the law have been satisfied. God is now satisfied. He has dealt with sin, rebellion. And he had to give his own son in which he would become satisfied, at peace, at rest with that which he had created. The blood of Christ is now all sufficient to atone, to cover man's sin, man's rebellion. This is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And you will know where the blood of the Lamb is in your life by the revelation that you have received of it. This is why I make much of the blood of Christ in my prayers, in my intercessions, in my overcoming, in my warfare and against the enemy. That is God's covering. And you apply that. He says we overcome by that covering. Now, unless you know that you are being atoned, you are being covered, you will not really have an understanding of this. You'll just simply have a mental insight into this. You see, the term to atone speaks of reconciliation. It means that I have been restored. I have been brought back before God as though I have not sinned. How God made and created us in the beginning. He sees us perfect in his Son. That is miraculous. That is a miracle. How a holy, righteous, awesome God can make man right in his image, that we can have a stand before Almighty God. How can anything do that? How can that be achieved? Well, there is the infinite wisdom and mind of Almighty God at work. That is why he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's always been there. And that is why these early saints like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob and all were justified by faith. Their belief. What? In the blood. The Lamb. God's provision. Even before he had manifested to the world. Because it's your faith in what God has done. Your faith that he has made you right before him, given you a standing. This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, I choose to believe the blood of Christ has reconciled me. I cannot go by how I feel. I cannot go by what is around me. I cannot go by circumstances, but I can trust in the mercies of God and what he has done for me. And that is it. You settle it. And then the Spirit of God begins to work reconciliation. He works within us, even in the flesh, bringing us into the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, you can't save yourself. You can't sanctify yourself. You can't redeem the world or change it. You can't make wrong what is right. But I can have faith in what Christ has done and has atoned for me. That I can do. And that's why we're here, brothers and sisters. Because we choose to believe. And like all things, when you believe, which is revelation, because flesh and blood doesn't reveal it to you, then God begins to build on that revelation that starts then to become your experience. You see, the atonement, the shedding of the blood, is not an experience. It's a faith. It's a confession. It's a belief. It's the work from that which becomes the experience in time as you walk with him and as he begins to start to change you from glory into glory. He begins to work on you like the potter and the clay. That is our experience. And that's why we grow in the Lord. And as we grow in the Lord, so our faith becomes stronger and stronger, because faith is like a muscle. It has to be used, you see. And even that is an act of God in which to help build our faith. This is why I always keep saying, every time we come together, it is because God is after your faith to believe. We always know when we're not believing, because it becomes works. It means I am taking over. I am working things out. And that's not what God saved us for. God has ultimately saved us for the very thing we can't do in the natural, and I'm always on about it, is where you let go. And that is why so often he uses the trials of life, because we still live in a fallen world. He uses those to bring us to that consecration of faith, where we finally let go and God then takes over, which makes it miraculous. You see, very few Christians are willing to do that, and that is why he has to present discipleship, forsaking all, putting your hand to the plough and ploughing and going forward. We say in our hearts spiritually, goodbye to everyone, family, spouse, children, cousins, everything. We're saying goodbye to them, to in which we mean that I am putting the kingdom of God first. And all you lot are going to come second to my relationship with God. Many Christians battle with that one. And you know by the trials, you know by the decisions, whether you're going to put God first or the family first or what they want. That's why the Lord stands with the sword over the family. It's in the Word of God. And I know why he's got that and why he's there. Because that is where we compromise. And when you start doing that, you're not allowing the blood of Christ to atone. You see, it's a continual sprinkling, covering. It's not just a one-off thing. It was for Christ when he shed his blood on the cross, but it's efficacious. It's continual. We know that by every generation where there have been Christians truly born again of the Spirit. There we see right through the centuries the power of the blood of the Lamb. Unlike just the offering that Israel gave up through the high priest, where he went into the tabernacle, into the holies of holies, and there he offered the blood up onto the mercy seat of God for the sins of Israel. That was a one-off thing. That's not a one-off thing with Christ now. It's eternal, everlasting. That is why he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's God's Lamb, his provision. And did you know that when we shall see Christ, we shall see the scars in his hands and his feet? What is all that for? To remind us of what God has done. And that blood was shed in which to atone, to cover. You have to be under the blood of the Lamb if you want to be an overcomer. And walk, especially now in these last days, with demonic activity like it is. Where we go, where we work, who we meet, and so on. The blood of the Lamb must atone for us. You start focusing on yourself and what you want, and you start to become fake, unreal. And the enemy knows it. You see, what blinds us from all of that is that pride that God has to deal with. He has to bring it down, because pride blinds us. Pride always lets us think we are fine with the Lord. I'm walking as he wants me and I'm in relationship. That's what it will let you think. That is its blinding factor. But as we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and we allow the blood of the Lamb to atone, it will always deal with that pride that makes you independent from God. Because that's what it does. Because its nature is to repel, to push you away from the presence of God. That's exactly what happened to Lucifer when he thought he could be God. And a third of the angels thought he could do it. And immediately he was cast out of the very presence of Almighty God. He was the closest cherub to God, to the throne. He had the nearest experience of the presence of God. And he thought he could be. And as a result, he fell immediately. What does that mean? He was pushed away from the presence of God. And that is what pride does. This is why I make so much of it. I bring it up so often, because it pushes you away from God. And if it pushes you away, then it's pushing you away from the atoning blood of the Lamb. And that is scary. Many times we have to find we just bow that knee and just bow in the presence of God and surrender and give it over. And then you find that peace, that presence. You're no longer held and gripped by this. Because as Peter says, when you bow the knee, you get the enemy off your shoulder. And the more you do it, the more you realize you need the power of God to take over in your life, to work your life, to help you to walk in this life. Because there are many trials and testings in this life. And we don't want to make it any harder for ourselves than it already is. And this is why, you see, we measure all things to the life of Christ. He is our goal. He is the one that we look to. We don't take our eyes off him. But many times the enemy is trying to get our eyes off the Lord. He tries every trick of the book to get your eyes off him. Because you see, when your eyes are on him, you're on the Word of God. Because you can't separate him. He was the Word made flesh to us, you see. So let's just look at some scriptures with regard to our reconciliation. What does it say in Romans chapter 5 and verse 11? Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have now received the reconciliation. There we are. We are reconciled. Brought back in covenant, in relationship, in standing with him. If you've not read the book of Romans recently, I'll encourage you to get back into it. Because there the apostle labours with regard to the law and grace and the atoning work of Christ, and how he has brought us back into fellowship and standing with him. It's a great book to read. I never tire of the book of Romans. What does it say in Romans 3 and verse 25? Romans 3 and verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So there we are. Everything is better what Christ has achieved and done. We no longer have to bring offerings and hand it over to a priest in which to shed blood. We don't have to do any of that now. We can come boldly into his presence, Hebrews tells us, and to make our requests known unto him. And not only that, but the great mystery and wonder of all of this is that God now tabernacles with man in his heart, because the veil has been rented in two. Totally, completely, utterly impossible if you were under the old covenant. Couldn't ever happen. But look at the great miracle of what Christ achieved at the cross. We're still learning about the cross and what Christ did for us. I believe it'll be still something that we learn about right through eternity. What was achieved there at the cross of Calvary. And sadly, it is so limited in our teachings today in our church. Most of them only understand a cross placed on an altar or something they hang round their neck as an ornament. That's the little understanding that man has. But I'll tell you what, if you make a study of the book of Romans, you'll start to begin to learn the power of the cross and the shedding of the blood of Christ and the atoning. It opens your eyes. It is a revelation that just flesh and blood cannot reveal what has been achieved and done. And that is why God doesn't get us to focus on ourselves. And Jesus did exactly the same with the crowd. When he saw them all, he said, if any of you wish to come and follow me, take up your cross daily and follow me. That sorted them out. Where were all those people at Jesus' betrayal? Where were they all when he was hanging on the cross? Hundreds following him at times. Because he said, you also take up your cross daily and follow me. And that's why you measure your life, everything, to the life of Christ that is in you. Everything that is measured, everything I do, everything I say, everywhere I go must be measured up to the life of Christ, the one who has atoned for me, who has provided his blood for me. That is the goal. Why does the Lord ask us to have our eyes and heart set upon him and him alone? Why does he do this? Why is it so stressed? Because man is idolatrous. He'll look to something else to worship. That's what the fall has done. That's what sin has done. And he says, measure your life up to me. And we can worship him. And we can fall at his feet, because he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the mighty God. And he came and he divested himself and took on human form and became a servant. That's why. And that's why the Father answers him and not you. Did you know that? He is the mediator between man and God, and he brings us to the Father. He pleads our case to the Father. And the Father never questions the Son. Whatever petition comes from the Lord to the Father on your behalf, your prayers of faith, the Father never questions, says, it's done. It's done. Do it. Do it. because he sees us righteous before him as though we have never sinned. As though the fall in the Garden of Eden hadn't taken place. And this is why it's always the cross. We never lose sight of the cross, because the cross speaks of atonement. It speaks of where I am covered and I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, as it says in Revelation. That's how the saints in these last closing days will overcome, by the blood of the Lamb. Many times I've faced situations where a decision quickly has to be made or whatever, and I find comes out of my mouth, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus is just there. Because that is my protection, that is my covering, that is my healing, that is my deliverance, that is my blessing, my preservation, that is what gets me into the kingdom of God, by the blood of the Lamb. And it saddens me, so many believers have such little insight of the blood of Jesus and the power of the blood and how we overcome. So the question is, brothers and sisters, where is the atonement in my life and in my daily walk? Are you aware of it? Are you experiencing it? Do you understand it? This is why God's bringing this up. Because maybe you need to go back and make some studies on the blood of Christ. It's all there in the Word of God. That's why I said go into the book of Romans. That's going to help you to understand. And certainly the first 4 or 5 chapters of the book of Hebrews. Very often I've confessed the blood of Jesus over sickness, disease, casting out demons. Many, many times we've heard demons cry out of people. I hate that when you command them to leave, and through the blood of Jesus, they do not like that. And you know why? Because they know the blood of Jesus cannot atone for these spirits. It is for man, woman, made in God's image. That is where the power lies. You see? Without the blood of Jesus, brothers and sisters, we have no meeting. We have no fellowship. There is no preaching or teaching of the Word of God. And certainly salvation would not be for the Gentiles. There would not be a new covenant. We would still be bound under the old covenant, under the law. And that was only given for Israel out of all nations. But the law, as we know, was a type of tutor, a type of teaching, because God knew man couldn't keep it. But it was to reveal what sin had done. It was to reveal that God is most holy and that you cannot approach him any old how. We see in the Old Testament how some were devoured by the fire of God because they approached God in a flippant way. All of that is revealing his holiness, his greatness. And that's why the blood of Christ protects us from him in that sense. The blood of Jesus turns that wrath into relationship, into love. How God intended that relationship to be in creating man is in his image. All of that changed when Adam and Eve fell. And God tried to protect them from that. But of course, you see, they were created innocent. They didn't know all of these things. They were just in relationship with God. It wasn't until the fall came, was he then exposed to these things that God never intended man to be exposed to. God never meant us to know what Satan had done, that he fell first in the courts of heaven, that rebellion started there first. All of that was not to be known. It wasn't necessary until man fell. And then he had to be opened up to knowledge that God never intended us to have. Our brains were not created for all of that. Our brains and hearts were created for the glory of God, to learn of him. And that's why the enemy attacks the mind. And what is God doing? Through the blood of the Lamb, he's closing those doors to our minds so that we're no longer a tricked or hindered or lied like the enemy works, because that's his nature. God's closing those doors to the mind as we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, so that we experience the mind of Christ, minds being restored again as how God intended man's mind to be. You see? And that's why we embrace the word of God and the promises of God and stand on these promises and confess them. That's how we overcome, you see. As I close with this, you cannot appeal to anything greater than the blood of Jesus. It is the source, it is the root, it is the foundation. It is where our new life springs forth and the old life passed away. That is why the atonement must be working on my behalf. Continue to be covered by the blood of the Lamb when you go out, when you come in, whatever you do, in prayers, intercessions, reading the word, sharing, witnessing, in your trials, all these things that we go through, never forget that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. It is the most powerful thing you can confess in faith. When you confess it, it is the reason why we're together and we have fellowship with each other and with the Lord. Praise God.